morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
Is that bird song I hear in the background?
Well, you know what? I had to just pause a moment. It sounded like an angel singing to me, but I'll leave the listeners to decide that for themselves. But yes, Kerry is singing in the kitchen below where I'm recording this. So
the kitchen?
Yes, so great acoustic. So, she's been singing all through lockdown with the stay-at-home choir and recording various songs, which are then incredibly all put together. They've created quite a few YouTube songs. If you want to go on YouTube and just type in stay-at-home choir, you may spot Kerry as a thumbnail among about 6,000 other people who are joined together from all around the world to sing a particular song. But she's enjoyed that. So yes, if you hear any noise, it is Kerry, so no complaints. And what about you, Tom? Any background noise for you today?
Well, the diggers that were here last week are still here, but they are a lot quieter. And fortunately, the rain has now stopped. But we had our first rain that we've had in about 3 weeks. I know it's rained in Stoke, I get that. But in Newcastle, the sunny part of Newcastle, we haven't had any rain for about 3 weeks. And today, it drizzled for about 5 minutes and then it stopped. So our garden got the briefest of brief waterings, and now it's just kind of grey, overcast, but still very warm here. No big loud noise here. It's funny you were saying that Kerry's singing in the kitchen, because there was a period of time, especially at the start of the pandemic, when you saw BBC news reporters recording from under their bed sheets in their rooms and all this kind of thing. Myself and you were recording the podcasts from quite far apart in the church. Mm. We sat in the foyer together. We had about five tables between us and we sat opposite one another. And I've noticed the sound quality has definitely picked up since we went home, because obviously churches are not always the best sounding venues. Mm. They're a lot more boxy and echoey than your homes filled with books, soft furnishings and edges. Interesting that she's chosen the kitchen to be the place to sing.
Yes, I know.
Is there any reason for that?
I don't know, really. That's a very interesting thought. I have no idea why she's chosen the kitchen, just to get away from me. But the sound still travels, doesn't it? So,
and it's a lovely sound.
And remembering the rain in Stoke last Thursday evening, I have to say.
Yes. My mum and dad said it was very rough on Thursday evening.
I have to apologise that it was probably my fault that it only rained in Stoke.
Were you singing as well then?
Very good. Very good. Well, no, our outside tap decided to stop working.
Okay.
And of course, given all the hot weather, we've been busy watering. I hope that's okay to water your garden. Not the grass.
Yes.
I couldn't care about the grass. It's the vegetables that are growing. And it stopped working on Thursday, on Wednesday, I think. And I said a quick prayer to God and said to God, God, if you could make it rain on Thursday, it would save us water in the garden with buckets from inside the house. And look what happened. It rained on Thursday evening. So I take all the credit for those who enjoyed having the rain, and my apologies to those who didn't like the rain on Thursday in Stoke. In fact, I think it was very localised to Trentham in some ways as well, which is quite crazy. But hey, you know, and it has rained a bit more. The flowers have had and the vegetables have had a water, which is very good. Anyway, enough rambling, Tom. These podcasts are never about rambling, are they?
Not normally.
Who could accuse us of rambling?
Occasions. We're not rambling. We set out to record these podcasts to connect with people in our congregation. It's funny just how far it's come since the very first one we did. I was trying to find the very first one we did on our website, and you know what? You have to click through an awful lot of pages to get there. As I've been clicking through, as we've been talking, I'm still only at July 2020.
Oh, goodness.
So we've been rambling for many months. The 25th of March 2020 was the first one that we did, talking about Mark 4 with one another. We won't put you through that again. But it's been an amazing journey that we've been able to go on with you as a church family. And yes, there might well have been occasions when it's been a little bit rambly. And there's been occasions when I've got brilliant outtakes to share at some point in the future. I think Tim knows I'm holding them at and for a ransom. it has been a really valuable thing, and it's been lovely to be able to use this as a way of connecting with you guys in our church. But we wanted to spend a bit of time today kind of almost encouraging you that when we started out with the podcast, it was an opportunity for us to kind of come to you in your homes and spend a bit more time with you, sharing news from our church, thoughts that we've had, and extending our Sunday sermons, which at the start were very short. Can you remember preaching for 10, 15 minutes when we were still discovering how yes. best to YouTube, as it were?
Yeah.
And as time's gone on, the Sunday talks have extended back to being pretty much normal length. But of course, what we've seen is the world around us has opened up an awful lot, especially since that 25th of March 2020, when the only people that we could kind of communicate with, we could communicate with whoever we wanted to by video call and through phone calls and whatever other forms of communication you wanted. But otherwise, you perhaps saw your next door neighbours on a Thursday evening during the clap for carers that happened, and you might have seen them over the garden fence. But there was a period of time when actually we didn't get out to see anyone or do anything beyond seeing strangers behind masks in supermarkets. And well, we didn't often have masks at the start, did we? Losing track and remembering all of these different things that happened. But we wanted to spend a bit of time today talking about what evangelism can look like. And I think we've seen a lot of what I'd maybe call passive evangelism happen, and it's been amazing to see. It's been fantastic to see everyone in our church sharing various videos around to people, seeing at Christmas time hundreds of you joining us for our candlelit carol service, even though it all happened online. It was amazing to see how that spread, apparently some of our songs, the Silent Night recording, was going around the hospital. It was doing the rounds amongst the wards up there. So that was fantastic to see. I know that the hospital themselves were putting onto their system when you logged on the recordings, which is amazing to see happen. It was quite a passive way of doing it, but it was all that we had. It was the way that we had to do things at that point, and it was good to be able to figure that out. But as we come out of lockdown, there is this opportunity now for us, as we are free of restrictions, to be able to get back to doing evangelism in the ways that Jesus taught us to. And some of that is going to be about making those same connections that we did 16 months ago, over the garden fence, with those who are our next door neighbours, more so than people who are far off trying to reach people and bring people in from all over the place. There's a whole world on our doorstep, in our workplaces, in our friendship circles and groups that we're part of, the social gatherings that have been able to start up again, who there are opportunities for us to meet with, to talk with and connect with. And ultimately, from those connections, leads to an opportunity to share our faith.
Yeah, and I think it's a reminder, isn't it, that lots of things were done during the lockdown just because people cared. And that's still the case, isn't it? You know, we don't just stop doing those acts of kindness because we feel everybody's getting back to some normality. I think it's a great opportunity to learn the lessons from what has happened and to build on those as well, and build on some of those conversations and relationships that we've all developed, you know. We'd only been moved in to the house, about five months when lockdown happened. And so we'd begun to get to know our neighbours, but obviously we don't know them brilliantly, but we've been able to share stuff during the lockdown, cakes and all sorts of other things and conversations, which has been amazing. So, yeah, it's been great just to be able to get to know our neighbours in a way we'd never have got to know them, I'm guessing, because we've all shared the same experience. Yeah, we've shared the same experience during this time. So we've all got a story to tell that is gathered around a central story, and that story was COVID. And that does sort of just segue into the story, the gospel story, doesn't it, really? You know, that the conversations that we have with people sort of gather around that Jesus story, not necessarily in an overtly, dogmatic, evangelistic preach, you know, but in terms of we share the same human story, and we're going to continue to have the same experiences in life. We're going to continue to have the same challenges in life as well. I've begun to realise how difficult it is to be a parent, listening to our next door neighbours and living, having their kids at home a lot more than would be normal. So you're sort of on the receiving end of hearing just the challenges of being a parent. And that's no comment on their parenting skills. It's just you think, man, it's difficult, isn't it? You know, the challenges and the pressures that parents are under with their children. My other next door neighbour, you know, an elderly mum, you know, who's on the in the early stages of dementia, you know, and so we have a common story. My mum had dementia as well, and so suddenly there's a connection, and I'm able to listen with empathy, with real empathy, because I've been through that, and it's not to be dogmatic again to that, but to be able to listen in a way that I can understand exactly what he's talking about. And so, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? But actually, I've got to be purposeful now to continue those conversations, even if COVID is sort of diminishing a bit as well, and the opportunities for kindness towards them, the opportunities for conversations with them, you know, it's actually making sure that those things happen as well. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting post-COVID scene in terms of how we share the good news of Jesus with those new relationships that we have actually developed during that time.
You're describing discipleship here, Tim, aren't you? You're describing how God calls us to love God and to love one another. Mm. And the way that we do that is through discipleship, through the building of relationships where we can live out our faith on a personal level with people in church, but also live out our faith in the real world, to have the opportunities to be salt and light amongst our close neighbours, our further away neighbours, and those who we meet with regularly. And I think so much of this is just about giving time to people, making ourselves available and offering our presence so that others can experience God's love through us. I can remember when I was a lot younger, hearing a very wise older gentleman explaining that for so many people, we might be the only Bible that they ever have an opportunity to read. And that stuck with me for a while. And I think there's a lot of flaws in what is said there. But what I can say is I understand where he's coming from, in that quite often the only experience someone would have of a Christian might well be through you. And every single person who's listening to this has got a story. You may not have everything sorted out in your life perfectly. You might not feel especially close to God at this exact time. And we know of people in our congregation and beyond who are really struggling right now. But we want to encourage you to almost look at where you've come from and look at what your story is right now. Look at what experiences that you have had and that you are currently going through, and use those as part of your testimony, part of your life story that is able to be shared with others when talking about matters of faith. It's something that connects all of us. Everyone has a story, and it's lovely to hear some of the amazing things that have happened. And in a couple of weeks' time, on Sunday morning, we're going to have the opportunity to hear a few people's stories from our church family. As far as I'm aware, there's going to be a 3 interviews as well as a sermon, where we're going to have the opportunity to listen to what people have been doing through the pandemic with various charities, and in a way what's taken them to that point. And hopefully what's said there might challenge other people in our congregation to be able to then say, hang on a minute, I've got a story too. This is what's been going on in my life, and this is the encouragement I want to give to anyone who's in this position. Because stories are powerful, aren't they? Yeah. Stories are something that bring everyone together. And it's been wonderful to see the Olympics, and of course what you've got there is a whole load of people who know what it's like to play sport, either at the top level or even just at an amateur level, who see what's going on, and they can sort of associate themselves with what's happening. And it's been wonderful to read all of the stuff that's come out of the sports chaplaincy and what's coming out from churches in Japan towards this, realising that sport is something that combines lots of people's stories all together and provides an opportunity for evangelism to take place. That's what we did at the football tournament a couple of weeks ago. What did we do? We went there as a group of friends with the purpose of playing football for a weekend. What came as part of it was the opportunity to hear evangelistic talks, interviews with people who have gone on a faith journey of their own, linked to football, linked to stories that have come about through them playing sport with one another, and just being able to be a real encouragement to everyone else who was there, at seeing people who have kind of got it together with sport and with their faith. So it's amazing to think of these various different ways that we can do discipleship with our neighbours, especially our next door neighbours. And this also then goes a step further for us as a church to challenge us in terms of thinking, so who are our neighbours? Who are the people that our church is next door to? Well, we can say we've got the people on Stafford Avenue. We've got the people who are a little further afield in the streets around. There's the estate that's behind the church. And that there's just, when you start to lay it out like that, you realise that there's a whole lot of people who we, in a way, need to grab hold of this opportunity to reach out to share God's love with them. We don't need to ram the doctrine down their throat. We just need to allow them to experience God's love. And the best way we can do that is showing friendship and being disciples to them in the world.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. And it has got a little bit frightening for some people, the word evangelism. And I think we have to reclaim it. You know, an evangelist, an announcer of good news. You know, it's a teller, it's a messenger. And evangelism is how do we tell the message? And there's so much in Scripture to encourage us, I think. And I was reading the story on the road to Emmaus, you know, when the two disciples were walking away from Jerusalem, even though they knew that some of their followers of Jesus had seen Jesus alive, they still decided to walk away. But of course, Jesus walked with them, which is the incredible part of the story. And I think it's a reminder to me that we have to walk in the direction of other people. You know, we've got to let other people set the pace, if you like, you know. And it may be frustrating at times, but I think we walk where other people are walking. And we listen to their story, you know, and that's exactly what Jesus did. You know, he said to them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? You know, it's a very unthreatening question. And actually, yeah, what an amazing question. What is it that's on your mind at the moment? And particularly post-COVID, I think there's going to be many people who are going to, they may even find it difficult to articulate exactly their feelings, but I think we can be part of that conversation. You know, what are you feeling at the moment? You know, what's been the impact of this COVID situation on you? How do you look back at it now? What are you discussing as you walk along? So I think, you know, that's a very good question. So we begin to hear their story, and then we can be prepared to give an answer as well. Yeah, because I think people inevitably say to us, well, what about you? What do you think? What do you think about it? And I think then we have an opportunity not only to talk about our feelings in terms of what's happened to us in COVID, but also to talk about our faith as well. And actually, you know, not in a heavy-handed way, but just to say, you know, that you know, my faith in Jesus has kept me strong through this. It's been tough. I've had these moments, these feelings, this has happened to me. But through it all, you know, I've known something. This is who Jesus is to me, and this is why it matters to me as well. And actually, that can just be a very honest and open, you know, few sentences about who Jesus is. And then I think the other thing about Jesus in this story is he didn't want to overstay his welcome. You know, Luke says he went as if to go on. Yeah, you know, while they were stopping, it looked like Jesus was prepared to go on. And he would have done, but they invited him back. And I think it's that then gives you the deeper opportunity when somebody wants to hear more, and they wanted to hear more about what Jesus had to say, that they wanted to know the rest of his story. And so he responded to that invitation and took time with them to stay with them. And we know the end of that story is he revealed himself to them as he broke bread to them. So, you know, I think there's some lessons to learn from that. Is to walk in the direction other people are walking. Listen to other people's story. When they ask you, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. That's what it says in Peter. And don't overstay your welcome, but respond to their invitation to stay as well. And I think, you know, if we can continue to do that, and I'm sure that for most people who are listening, if not everyone who's listening, has taken time with someone, whether it's on the phone or with a next-door neighbour or with a work colleague, to talk about COVID. There's no doubt about it. We've all had that as our conversation. And so as we come out of it, then we can begin to deepen those relationships and begin to talk about the faith that we've had through it all as well. But acknowledging how tough it is, of course it's tough, of course it's really hard, but actually underpinning my journey is this understanding of who Jesus is. So, yeah, please be encouraged. And, you know, this isn't to put pressure on anybody. We don't need to feel the pressure. It's not up to us. It's up to the Holy Spirit as well. But he wants to use us to share Jesus. So, let's reveal him. Let's reveal him.
Well, I think I've shared this before on the podcast, but I can't remember. And if you didn't hear it before, then it's worth me sharing with you now. That my own story of this kind of evangelism journey with my best friend took 18 months as well. I don't want people to think it's going to be an immediate thing. It took 18 months of me sort of building up a friendship with my best friend through the act of playing what I call secular football. Yes, ran by a church, but ultimately, if you went along and you weren't a Christian, you're not going to be offended by what happens there. It took 18 months before my friend really even came to church for the first time. And so don't be disheartened if what you see from the outset is a closed off approach to it, or just not getting an immediate fix. Because so many times through the Bible, we see things happen not at the same pace that the people might have wanted to. And Tim, I'm sure you too have many stories of times when things haven't worked out immediately as you thought they would, but 10 years down the line, you hear some wonderful news about so-and-so who, absolutely. You know, I want to thank Tim for sharing it with me all these years ago, and I've now finally come to this point of understanding. And it can be disheartening when people don't immediately grab hold of it. And I've had to say this to lots of people whose children kind of come to church and they say, my kids aren't getting it. And I kind of say, well, all we can do in that moment is show them love. I'm not here to brainwash any children that come to our church. Quite the opposite. If we give young people and children a faith that's ours, then they're never going to have it for themselves. Mm. What they need to do is come to realize and recognize the love of God, recognize everything that God's done for us, and from that respond accordingly. And that's our job. As you said, our job is to open up opportunities for other people to explore faith. I think that's one of the great things about the Alpha course, in that what often isn't talked about so much is the fact that you have a week between things. You have this period of time that it is almost a case where there will be some unanswered questions, and there's a desire for some people to answer every single question that everyone has. But so much of the time, we just have to sit back and let God work in those people's lives, in those pause points. And sometimes it's going to be that it's 7 days before it. You might go from one meeting when you're playing bridge with people to the following week. They come back and they said, you know what, I explored this thing and I'm really interested in it. I want to know what you think. Some weeks, in the case of my best mate, it takes 18 months, a whole year and a half for the kind of first little glimmers of exploring faith to appear, having first brought it up. And there's no hard and fast rule on this. Of course, many people in our church are incredible evangelists. And we want to say to you guys, keep going, keep bringing people to know Jesus, and keep on encouraging folk around you to discover more of God's goodness through your actions, through the way that you can talk to people and share your story with others. But for those of you who find this all very daunting, and maybe you're even coming out of COVID with either mild or perhaps much more significant anxieties about talking to even just other people about anything, we want to today encourage you to share your story, find ways of just being with people, being present with people, talking with people, letting them know how much they're loved by you. And then if they turn around and ask where that love comes from, be prepared to answer.
Brilliant. Sounds a good place to stop. And just to encourage everyone to look out for those opportunities that will come, and to be bold in your witness. But again, if we can help in any way, we can pray for you. If there's a particular relationship that you're building that you just want God's guidance and strength for, then please let us know. We'd love to pray for you about that. If we can help in any way, you want to chat through something, then please do as well. And let's see what God wants to do and how he wants to use each of us to be part of the ongoing story that he wants to write in our world at this particular time. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us again. We really do appreciate that, and taking time out just to think on these things. So, we should pray and ask God's blessing on all that we've said today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that there was a day when somebody told us about you. Perhaps a parent, a mum or a dad or a grandparent, perhaps a friend at school or a work colleague, a neighbour. Father, thank you that you use people, ordinary people, to tell others about you. It's so simple and yet we're so daunted by it. And so I pray that you will be with each of us as we seek to tell others about you, Jesus. Help us to be in tune with your spirit for the right moment, for the right words, for the right opportunity, for an invitation, whatever it may be. May we be your people, attuned to your voice, ready to respond to your call. Thank you that you use ordinary people to talk about Jesus. So use us, I pray, and may we have the joy of seeing lives transformed through the power of your spirit, that you've used us as part of that journey. Thank you, Father. Just continue to build your church, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. This is going to be the last NBC Connect podcast for the next 4 or 5 weeks or so. We'll be back in September, but we're going to take a month off as we navigate through August and summer. We hope that's not too disappointing for you, but of course, get in touch with us if you want to chat, and you can have your own personal NBC Connect podcast with us through conversations that we have with you. Although if everyone rang up and wanted that, then yeah, we might reconsider. Do join us this weekend on Sunday as Tim shares with us God's word. That's at 10:30. And if the weather's good, then we'll be outdoors on the car park for another amazing morning. But if the weather's not so good, then we'll be indoors. And we've got plenty of capacity. There's no need to book anymore. Please do bring a face covering with you if you're joining us in person indoors, as that's currently part of our COVID guidelines that we're working to as a church to help keep everybody safe and make everybody welcome. And then, of course, on the 8th of August, we've already given you a bit of a preview of what's going to be happening on that morning. But we're really looking forward to hearing some stories from our church family about what's been going on over the last 18 months in their lives and the way that they've been able to connect with people who are often on their doorstep, mostly in need. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you at any of our in-person events or if you're joining us online. It's been great to be with you for the last, how many months is it? We've been podcasting for quite a while now, haven't we? And a well-earned break, I think, Tim.
It's been a lot of fun.
It has. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.